Welcome. I am Halcyon. This is Hug Nation. It is a special edition of Hug Nation. It is the finale of the Burning Man Boot Camp. The Burning Man Boot Camp series. Four videos plus a bonus one about relationships, about just kind of like compact all the best tips and tricks that I've been putting out for the last 15, 16 years or so. I'm a 21-year burner. This is my 22nd year. I have started with Cruz a number of theme camps over the years, most recently Pink Heart, which is celebrating our 10-year anniversary this year in Black Rock City. 10 years! You would think we'd have it figured out by then. Actually, we have it figured out pretty good. It's still a cool learning every year, but anyway, that is who I am. That massively affects the kind of experiences that I have, and so take that as you will as I share the things that my answers or my advice. There is no correct way to burn, so do you. But if you don't know what you're talking about, if you're coming to Black Rock City in ignorance, learn first. There is an article that came out today in Fast Company magazine titled, "Tech Billionaires Haven't Killed Burning Man's Anti-Capitalist Spirit, But Influencers Might." With this article going through all of the challenges that Burning Man is having, all of the affronts to our culture with money coming in, with influencers, with really, this is the reason why I'm doing the boot camp. Burning Man doesn't have a commercialization problem. Burning has a problem of being awesome. And so people want to go. And so people go and they don't quite understand what they're getting into. They don't understand that you don't go to check out Burning Man, you go to help create Burning Man. And I think people want to know. I think that once they understand, that they will recognize the opportunity. There's a million awesome parties in the world. There is very few opportunities to actually participate and help create an awesome experience. That's why I dedicate so much of my life to trying to educate and enculturate and share the magic as I experience it. Because I think it's really important. And what is the danger to Burning Man more than anything is people not getting that. And people slowly diluting this powerfully condensed ball of creativity and support and magic that as you get pulled into it, your creativity and your magic just like pops. And as more and more people are allowed to through money or whatever are able to do it from a distance, they might not pop. And then they might invite their friends to check it out. And now we have not everyone in popping state. We've got a bag of popcorn with a whole bunch of kernels that are unpopped. And is there anything worse? Okay, I'm getting off track. But I wanted to mention why this is so important to me, why I make videos about Burning Man and the principles, because the principles are what makes everything happen. And it's why I'm doing the decompression and integration group after that thing in the desert. Because I think that there's learning before you go, remembering as you're there, is hugely important. Just as important is taking that new awareness and integrating it into your world, to your experience, to your outlook. And in doing so, rippling that into the world. The world needs help. And I believe that what happens to people at Burning Man is an incredibly important part of the healing of our planet. So that's why I'm here. I hope eventually that's why you're here if you're not here already for that reason. Perhaps we shall just get started. Welcome. Okay. Welcome to part three of Burning Man Boot Camp. No, gosh darn it. I'll try that again. Welcome to part four of Burning Man Boot Camp. What to expect in Black Rock City. And really, this final episode is really a collection of some of the most frequently asked questions or some of the great questions that I've got over the years that I wanted to just collect into a bunch of final things that you can listen to and on your way to Black Rock City. All of these videos will be available as MP3s sent out in the final email that's going to my list with all of these videos. So you can watch them or you can listen to them on your drive. Don't watch and drive because, you know, laws. So I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that we're all going to be there. Even if you're not actually going to Burning Man, I think the pursuit of recognition and understanding about what's going on there can be helpful in all aspects of everyone's life. Bold statement, bold guy. All right. The number one question, actually, I'll take that back. The first question, not the number one. We're not, there's no pageant here. We're not giving a winner. Just the first question, okay? The first question, how do I sleep there? That's a doozy. And depending on where you camp, it might be tough. There is a vast difference in the volume around the clock in different parts of the city. Hopefully, if you're going with people and with a camp, you can get a sense for what your part of the city is like. And in a big theme camp, the sound and the volume on an edge of your camp versus the middle of your camp could be dramatically different. There's a big difference if you're on Esplanade versus back in the city. Massive difference if you're near a sound camp. If you're near a sound camp or near where the sound camps are, there's a good chance you're going to be hearing the bass of many sound systems, which sounds less like music and more just like a robot orgy. And I recommend people think about that as a way to maybe get to sleep. But really, the best I can say is it can be tough. Use earplugs. Everyone says that. I've never had that much luck with earplugs. I have had luck with sleep aids that I've gotten with the help of a doctor as I explained the situation to them. But I think if I could have any advice to someone who is struggling with sleeping at night is maybe let go of your definition of when you need to sleep. If it's 3 a.m. and there's something going on or you can't sleep, maybe get up and walk around. Maybe see what's going on. Maybe see what the sky looks like. Maybe see a sculpture that's all lit up without many people around it. Maybe grab a blanket that you don't mind getting dusty and wander around until you find some place that seems safe and quiet and you could sleep for a nap there. Perhaps going on that walk with a blanket around you becomes the most important thing you do all week. All right, next. A lot of people reach out to me and ask about being shy and meeting people and any tips or advice for that. And it can be actually really challenging if you go to this amazing city with everyone interacting and asking for your participation and your patterns and your brain chemistry and everything that makes it difficult and you feel like the need to get away or you struggle to open up. And I would give yourself permission to do whatever and don't beat yourself up. There's a million ways to experience Burning Man and doesn't have to be socializing. But if you feel drawn to connect with people, they're an amazing group of people. And because we have this decommodified environment, people are pretty open to receiving a newcomer's energy because there is not the traditional what's your angle vibe that the default world entails. So you can walk up to people playing a game and say, is there room for another? You can, or a puppet show or a parade, or if you see a camp that is built really cool, say, this is amazing. Did you guys build this? Easiest way to meet people is compliment, show interest in things they've done. And everyone there is doing things and making things. See somebody, you know, setting up the final parts of a structure or a sculpture or painting something. If you walk up and say, do you need a hand with anything? Can I hold that down while you're doing it? And you are now a team. You are now showing communal effort and you are now on your way to, well, you've connected, but you're on your way to a deep and real connection. It is, if I could say anything to you, if you're scared, is that people go to Burning Man to meet people, to meet you. You are one of the gifts. You can use your gift as a prop to begin the interaction and say, oh, wow, I love your outfit. It would go great with this Jolly Rancher. And as they giggle, you can say, it's my first time here. Anything you think I should see? Or, what is your story? That's not a good one. But what do you care about? What have you seen that's awesome? These are, I mean, you are not an invasion or a nuisance. You are part of this. And if people are busy or people are on the way to something, you know, they're just going to smile and wave. Or they might say something really snarky and mean, but that's just how it goes. They don't mean it. They think that saying fuck your burn is going to make you all feel like you're more burnier. But don't get me started. I talked about that in episode 3. Okay, another question. How to stick with your crew or your partner or your friends? Now, going out at night, it is a very likely event that you will bike someplace, start parking your bikes with a crew of people, and then turn around and have no idea where they are. And especially if it's a place like a dance place where there's tons of people, you know, 5 minutes ago, you're like, oh, I'm following my friend who's got the blue blinky light. And then you see 1,000 blue blinky lights, 1,000 people with goggles and colored hair and fur bikes. And you're like, oh, man. So number one, don't panic. Getting lost at Burning Man is awesome, and it will happen. It should happen. You should make it happen. If you lose your friends, find new friends, have a solo adventure, it's all good. But if you do want to stick with them, a couple things you can do. One, before you head out, notice the patterns of lights on your friends' bikes and on them. And if you want to be a helpful person, put together a unique set of lights on your head, back of your head, something where people can, your friends will see it and be able to find you. Even better, a pole or a sign with lights on it. That seems like way too much effort for me. I like to have my hands free for adventures, but some people in a big group, especially if you really want to stick together, having a sign or a something lit that stays high. It can be attached to a bike as well. I've seen people do that with a lot of luck. Another thing that's really works well is to have like a call, some phrase or sound that you guys make when you're separate, and you know call and response, you know, Marco, Polo, that kind of stuff. So if your camp or your group sets up something like pinky, 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 pink, and I hear pinky, 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 pink, I go, oh, cool, there's someone else that's in my camp. Let's go find them. But if you do get lost, it's all good. Next, I have a note on improv and humor. Burning Man is a hilarious place. People are whimsical and having fun. And you will notice people playing the yes and improv type interactions. You're allowed to pretend to be whoever you want. You're allowed to adopt a playa name and a new playa name and a persona. You're allowed to give a description of how you made your bike that is totally fanciful. You can explain your heritage as unicorn related and that you are a genetic experiment. You can just start playing. And there's a huge, I have so much fun with this. If you're not comfortable doing that, you don't have to. But know that you're allowed to just start going with whatever flow and playing. And part of that play is to step into roles and characters and helping people as they are doing that, etc. It'll make sense when you're there. Okay, the next one I have on my list is stay open to small art. As Burning Man has grown, the art has grown. The money that's gone into some of these installations and mutant vehicles and sculptures is incredible. And what they produce is incredible. But it's very tempting to be drawn to the brightest lights and the loudest music. That's where there'll be a crowd there. But Burning Man is not better where it's crowded. There's genius in the nooks and crannies. There is magic moments in the back streets, in the dark places, in the following a light out in the middle of nowhere. What's at that light? And you might find some installation that changes your life. But you have to get off the beaten path. You have to go away from the bright things and the loud things and trust that the payoff will be incredible. The road less traveled at Burning Man is incredible. So just don't fall into the herd mentality. Next, I want to talk just a little bit about Rangers. Rangers are the ones in the khaki outfits, which is the reason why I could never be a Ranger. Khaki doesn't work with me. I'm just kidding. I've been thinking, maybe could I do it? But Rangers are people who have a similar mentality that I have, which is like, this place is awesome and I want to do whatever I can to make it better. I want to be of service. They are not officers of the law. They are lovers of Burning Man. They are enthusiastic participants who know that it will be a better place if when one of our brothers and sisters gets lost or stumbles or needs something, it'll be so much better for all of us if one of our own can help them before things get bad or scary or illegal or dangerous. So when in doubt, Ranger, they are your buddy, your coach, your teammate, your older brother, older sister, your friend. The uniform, don't let that scare you. That's just so that we can find them in times when maybe we're off track and need some help. The opposite of Rangers is law enforcement. I'm not going to get deep into this. I urge you to do your own research, but law enforcement is a presence in the modern Burning Man experience. Remember that you do not consent to a search, and you ask if you are free to go. Police are notoriously known for asking questions in a way that tricks you into saying yes. Like, you don't have anything hidden in here. Like, you don't mind if I search it. And the nervous person will say, no, I don't know. No. And then they go, thank you for the consent to search your vehicle. So that's why people tell you to practice it. Have it written down. I do not consent to a search. Am I free to go? Because they will make you nervous. They will say, well, no, everyone's doing this. And you just, whatever they need to say, they will say. And because some of us have grown up, most of us, all of us, in a world where it's tempting to just want to please the police and make them like you and so that they are nice to you, they know that. They use that to their advantage. So practice the things you have to say to just make it as difficult as possible for them. For a really deep dive into harm reduction, including police, including substance use, including hydration, highly recommend a video that I did with Mitchell Gomez. It is on the Burning Man journal, as well as in my YouTube channel, the Hug Nation YouTube channel. If you search for Mitchell Gomez, you'll find it. But he is the head of Dance Safe and is just so knowledgeable, has so much to share, really worth a listen while you are driving or stuck in traffic on your way to the burn. A lot of people ask me about hair dye tips, and I'm not gonna spend forever on this because I know we're not all dyeing our hair, but yes, it is something I know a little bit about. You may have noticed if you were shopping in Walmart, you may have seen me in the hair dye aisle. I am the man on the cover of the Splat pink hair dye box. Oh, you don't recognize me? How about now? It was a long time ago. It was before Zoolander. Leave me alone. If you're planning on dyeing your hair a bright color, be prepared for disappointment. Bright colors in the best of conditions fade quickly. On the playa, they fade very quickly, especially pinks, yellows, greens, But what you can do is minimize the amount of it that you wash your hair. I know, like you're gonna maximize it out there. But what I do is I have like a, the dye I use is just like a vegan color. It's not nothing chemical. So, and it's actually Special Effects is what I use. I use Special Effects, Atomic Pink, and I mix it into conditioner. So I have watered down dye in my conditioner so that every time I use that, I'm adding a little bit of pigment to my hair, which slows down the fading, or if I have enough pigment, actually can maintain it. So be prepared for disappointment. Colors that are darker, you might want to ask around, are going to stick longer. But if I know I don't have access to a shower, I would use my Special Effects Atomic Pink Full Strength, which makes it more like burgundy at the beginning of the week, and then it fades to a pink as it goes. As it is, I water it down a little bit to begin with. This is probably, you know, 4 days in, but it was brighter before, if you can believe it. All right. I wanted to give a shout out to CLITS, which is the Cover Logos If They Show organization or movement. It is a everyone is welcome movement. One of the traditions at Burning Man is cover your logos. If you have a rental truck, bring some gaffer tape or some tape that's a painter's tape that's easy to take off and cover the logo, or even better, adjust the logo and make it into something funny. Maybe make a sign and tape it over your logo. If you've got a rental RV, tape over the stuff that says, I'm in a rental RV, I'm a tourist. Tape over whatever you can. Cover it creatively. Have a piece of fabric, something, so that we create this environment that just protects us from the messaging that assaults us year round. And the same is true with, you know, as many logos as you can, whether it's on your clothes or, I mean, I wouldn't get crazy about covering your watch because it makes it difficult to read, but, you know, be conscious of it. Like, be conscious of how many logos are assaulting you all the time, and what can you do to put a little tape over the ones that are a part of your Burning Man experience. Okay, last few are, I think, more philosophical, bigger things that I end up addressing a lot with people. Next is about just dealing with challenges. You are going to have struggles during your Burning Man experience. It's kind of what you signed up for. You go to this inhospitable place. You have to bring everything you need. There's going to be dust storms while you're there. And you're going to be asked to step up and do things you've never done before. You're going to struggle. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. And if you don't at some point surrender, you're going to suffer. I love it when the first big dust storm hits. After early entry, because when the builders get hit, you know, then they're all crusty and the people show up at the gates opening and you've got this crusty people and clean people. But once like a Monday, Tuesday dust storm hits and suddenly everyone is baptized and covered, it's like, okay, now we can all let go of the story we have in our head about how clean we need to be or what our hygiene rules are. It's like, now I'm living in a new set of rules. And the same is true in so many ways. I had one of the most profound experiences of my Burning Man career was when a massive windstorm destroyed my camp in 2001. It was Zara. We had an insane, huge budget camp. We had this totally enclosed with live sod, live grass inside, and waterfalls and black lights, and it was incredible. And a windstorm got under our poles, ripped up things, poles flying through the air, and the grass and everything went flying. So if you wonder why we can no longer have plant material in Black Rock City, I'm sure we played a part of that, and I am still living in regret and embarrassment for that. However, so the next day, we're in the wreckage, and I'm sitting there just like crying, literally. I'm sure if you've watched many of my videos, that's not a surprise. But yeah, so I'm crying in the wreckage of our camp. And these people ride up on their bikes, all dressed up, all sparkly. And they're like, hey, do you guys know where Zara is? And I was like, this is Zara. And they went, oh, okay. And they rode off. And I was like, what? Where are you going? Why won't you stay and suffer with us? And this like dusty light bulb went off in my head. I guess it would be an LED. And I was like, oh, why are they not staying? Why am I not leaving? Burning Man is happening all around me. And I am choosing to stay in this place that is making me unhappy. And once that, boom, oh, I can go 20 feet in any direction and experience a different part of Burning Man that's probably gonna be awesome, that changed everything. I just have to surrender, let go of my expectations. Just because things are not going the way that you want them to doesn't mean they're not going exactly as they should go. That, not being able to sleep, maybe you're supposed to walk around. Missed your meal, maybe you're supposed to make something yourself or offer to help a neighbor cook. Letting go, and if things aren't perfect, move, go. If you're hanging out with friends and you don't like what they're doing, excuse yourself. Next on the list is Burning Man is a duocracy. If you ever find yourself saying, someone should, well then that someone is you. Think there should be more of a different kind of music? Well, make that happen. Think something should be organized a different way, or unlike a festival where there is promoters and organizers who cultivate and curate your experience, you are in charge of making this experience exactly what it needs to be. So if something ain't right, it's on you to fix it. Duocracy. It sounds like a lot of responsibility, but it makes all the difference in the world. And the more you feel that, the more pride you will have in the city. And as that leaks out into your life, it will make a dramatic impact on the way you see yourself in the world. And finally, I just want to say, a lot of people come to Burning Man and they have this attitude their first time. Well, you know, I'm just here to check it out. I'm not an artist. And I would like you to take a moment, let go of that absolute. Maybe you don't put paint on a canvas. You don't make sculpture. Maybe you don't do any of those things now. Maybe you never will, but you are an artist. You can be an artist in the way that you do almost anything, because being an artist is interacting with the world creatively. Not being a consumer, but being a participant. And that's what we're all asked to do at Burning Man. Burning Man is what it is because you add your magic. And maybe you don't know what that is right now. Okay, being around so many people that are listening to their heart songs and letting it out, it will start to inspire you. You will start to notice the things you're drawn to. Let it out. Let go of any limitations you have on the definition of who you are. You are an artist, and we want the contributions inside of you. And not just in Black Rock City, in the world. And that's what I will leave you with saying. I hope that you will join me for my integration and decompression group after the burn. It's going to be a month-long video group chat twice a week to talk about ways that we can integrate better, ways that we can decompress, ways that we can get through depression and struggles and frustrations and angst, all the things that may come up when you return from Burning Man or that thing in the desert or any transformative experience you might be going through. So we're gonna have twice a week group calls. We're gonna have a private group so we can share what we're going through. We're gonna have assignments that we have to, or the opportunity, all trying to help one another bring that magic into the world on an ongoing way. It's important to be you in the world. And the more that we can do that, the more we play our role in the healing of everything. So thank you for being you. Thank you for taking on all of this. Thank you for learning all that you can so that you can be part of what makes the Burning Man experience so magic. We have a struggle in this community, and that is a lot of people don't know what's going on. The more people that know what is going on, the more people that help acculturate others and lift it up and make the principles known and don't ride with a bare ass on a yellow bike, or don't lock it up and call people out in a kind way when they see them doing it, the more we collectively can have the magic experiences, we can cultivate these mind-popping, open, heart-popping, open, transformating experiences that we then take into the world and start creating ripples. I cannot wait to meet you. Please hug me if you see me. I will be at Pink Heart at 8:30 in Esplanade. Please join me on the Pink Ride on Thursday at noon. I'll give a talk with the meaning of life as I see it in that moment, and then we will ride to Center Camp for bliss and magic and love. Whatever your experience is, I have faith it's going to be perfect for you, but I hope our paths cross. I love you. I'll see you at home.